Good morning, Pepinas. Before we start, there's somebody that asked last week to share a testimony, and then we got busy. It was on Tuesday. And I promised her that she could have an opportunity to share today. Jemima, would you mind coming forward, please? Thank you. You're going to just use my mic.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. I just want to testify to God's goodness and God's faithfulness. Last year, due to some circumstances, I lost a vehicle that I had. And so we were left with one vehicle, and it was a bit tough for Stelios and I to use one because we both had to get to our work. So I think for the last 6 months of last year, since about June, I started sowing seed for a car and praying for a vehicle. And I just want to give God the glory because in December he blessed me with a car that's fully paid for and nothing is owed on it. So he's good.
Wow. That is quite a testimony. Amen. Praise God. Okay. I would actually just like to say something based on what she said. I know there's some people that don't always understand exactly how this stuff works, so let's quickly explain it before we start with today's teaching. She said that she sowed for a car. Okay, so how do you sow for a car? Do you take your little dinky toy and you put it in the ground and you water it? And you don't water it, you put petrol over it and a bit of oil? And then it grows? No, it's not like that, but it's similar. You see, the Bible says, as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest time will never cease. The Bible also says that every seed reproduces after its own kind. Sorry, this is timing limit. Every seed reproduces after its own kind. So, you know, the days that the Bible was written in was very different from today. Yet it also wasn't all that different. It was different from the point of view that a lot of the things that we have today didn't exist back then, but people still needed to make a living. Am I right? Now, back in the day, you know, many years ago, there wasn't such a thing as money and this and that. You grew your crops, you bartered. I gave you some millies, you gave me a cow. You gave me milk, I gave you potatoes. That's the way we did it. And what allowed us to sustain ourselves was the seed that we planted. All right? Now, today things are different. We can't all be farmers because somebody has to teach the children. We can't all be teachers because somebody has to look after the patients. We have a lot of different jobs that didn't exist back then. Back then, pretty much everybody was, to some extent, living a farm-style life, relying on the seed of the land to make a living. And what you put into the ground was what you made your living on. Just because things have changed doesn't mean that the laws of the kingdom of God have changed. The thing that we use most commonly now is money. Back then they would have used the millies, they would have used the potatoes, they would have used the whatever, you calves or sheep or something, which also comes from a seed. We have to use money to do the exact same thing. But now, back in the day, if I needed something, I would take my potatoes and I would go to her and I would say, listen, I need new curtains for my house. She has a bag of potatoes. Can you make it for me? And something would happen. Today we use money to do the same thing. All right. Now, as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest time will never cease. The heavens are still out there. The earth is still here. There will come a day when God will grant a new heaven and a new earth, and the old earth will be destroyed. But the Bible says, until that time comes, seed time and harvest time will endure. So in other words, when you sow something, God will make sure that there is a harvest. How do we in this day and age get to sow? Well, we still sow, but we sow differently. We sow with finances. And we have to, the Bible says we have to be very careful what we sow and how we sow. You remember the parable of the sower. He sowed some seed. And he was obviously expecting a harvest, but most of the places where he sowed provided no harvest. There were some that fell on the road, where the earth was very compacted and the seeds could not go in, and then the birds came and they picked it up. There were some that fell on the rocks where there was a bit of soil, but the roots could not go down deep, so therefore when the sun came up, it shriveled up and it died. There were some that fell between the thorns and the thistles, and they came up, but they were not strong enough to withstand the power of the thorns and the thistles, and eventually they were strangled, and they produced no real harvest. But then there was a portion that fell on what the Bible calls fertile ground, and because it was in fertile ground, because the roots could go deep, it grew and it produced a wonderful harvest. And even in the parable, Jesus says the harvest will be sometimes 30, sometimes 60, even 100-fold. You see, here's the wonderful thing about sowing and reaping. It's impossible, according to the laws of the kingdom of God, to sow and get less back than what you give. You're always going to get more back. Imagine if you sowed 1 millipip and you only got like a quarter back. Nobody would be sowing. There would be no farmers because it wouldn't be financially viable for you to do that. But the interesting thing is, and I have checked this, they say that when you put that 1 millipip into the ground and a plant grows and it gives you a full head of corn, there can be up to 1,000 individual pips on that one head. That's 1,000-fold increase. And some millis can provide 2 heads of corn. That's 2,000. Man, that is increase. Now, here's what Jemima did. Every seed will reproduce after its own kind. She said to the Lord, "Lord, this seed that I'm sowing, I am sowing because I need a car. Please allocate it. This seed is called my new car. I'm sowing for my new car. Thank you, Lord, that you look after this seed and that it produces a harvest." And guess what happened? You probably got about a 20,000% increase. Am I correct? How many of you know that God is good? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Actually, what you testified about today, I think, fits in very nicely with what I want to talk about. Let's talk about something interesting. How many of you have got, let's just call it a medical aid? Anybody here got a medical aid? I know they're getting very, very, very ridiculously overpriced, but in any case, some of us do have a medical aid. Now, why do we have medical aids? Okay. In case we get sick, we can be covered. We have medical aids because it offers us what we could loosely term a benefit. If your medical aid didn't offer you benefits, would you still pay the money for the medical aid? Okay, so what are some of the benefits that your medical aid offers? Give me one benefit of your medical aid. Okay, he doesn't have to pay cash at the doctor's. What's one benefit of your medical aid? Okay, peace of mind. I suppose that is a good one. Some of your medical aids offer you certain dental assistance. Some of your medical aids offers you comprehensive hospital plan, what. If you look at it, there's a lot of things that your medical aid can offer. Now, let's take a look at it from a different point of view. We all at different banks. Some of you are at F&B. Some of you are at Absa Bank. Some of you are at Nedbank. Some of you are at Standard Bank. Now, depending on your social status, your income, etc., etc., they will put you on a certain plan. Some of you have like the silver plan, and some have got the gold package, and some have got the platinum package, and some of you have got, I saw the other day there was like this black one, I can't remember what it's called. What's it called? Onyx. Okay, I wouldn't know, you know, I'm not on your level, you know, we're not worthy. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is this. The reason we have different packages is because they also come with different benefits. Is that right? For some, yeah, I know, you have to be careful. Let's not even go there. I don't want to depress them today. That's a story for another day. But you're right. The benefits are different. Now, with some, you don't pay for internet banking. With some, you don't pay for your statements. With some, you get certain other privileges, like you might get 10% interest on one and you might get 15% interest on another one. I'm just giving some, I have no idea what they really are. Here's my point that I'm trying to make. A lot of the things that we get involved with in life offer some kind of a benefit. It's there to make life easier for us, and it's worthwhile understanding what your benefits are. Let's go back to the medical aid. Imagine if you had a medical aid and you were paying, let's say, today it's most grossly expensive. Let's say you are paying that 3,000 or 4,000 rand a month for this medical aid. But nobody ever explained the benefits to you and you get sick. And now you're too scared to go to the doctor because it's going to cost you a lot of money. But you're already paying all of that money in any case. And so now you're sitting at home and you're really sick and you're in a bad place. But you don't understand that the benefit is the medical aid covers the doctor's cost. And the medical aid is going to cover the medicine. Now you're losing out in a big way. How many of you know that there are plenty benefits in the kingdom of God? And you see, here's one of the problems. The big problem, yeah, is not that we do not have benefits in the kingdom of God. The big problem is that we don't always understand what our benefits are and how to apply the benefits that are already available to us. And because we do not understand the benefits, we don't apply the benefits, we are battling when God sometimes, I think he looks down and he just shakes his head and he says, but what's wrong with these people? Don't they know that I have given them the benefit of X, Y, Z? Why do they accept such a poor substitute if I have given them something amazing and wonderful? Listen to this scripture. This is amazing. Psalm 103 says from verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. How many of you would agree with me that it is worthwhile praising God? Now, I want you to listen to why he says we must praise God. Verse 2, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hey, did you hear that? You see, I'm not just sounding like some television ad today. I'm actually getting this from the Bible. Probably they got all of that from the Bible. There are, according to the word of God, some amazing benefits waiting for you because you made the decision to put God first in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, man, this is getting good. There we go. There we go. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Before we look at what the benefits are, and there's quite a number of them, I want to focus on what the Word of God says about the benefits. Look at your neighbor and say, forget not. Forget not. Okay, look at your other neighbor because they might not have heard. Forget not. You see, I want to say something about that. Is there anybody in this room that forgot to worry this week? Come on, be honest. Did you forget to worry? Did you worry? Okay, if you worried, or you if you worried a bit, raise one hand. If you worried a lot, raise two. If you worried seriously, jump up and down. All right, so I'm so happy that you're all in church today because we can sort out all the worries. Here's the thing. And this is what I think the Bible wants to address. It's one of the things that God's Word wants to address. We never forget to worry. We never forget to panic. We never forget to stress. We never forget to feel afraid. But we forget the benefits of God. Like this, because the cares and the worries and the problems and the turmoil in life sometimes seems to overpower that. And this is why God reminds us, listen to me carefully. It's almost like God wants us to come to a point that on a daily basis we remind ourselves, but wait, I have benefits. And today I'm claiming my benefit as a child of God. And I will not allow these other things to overpower my mind with problems, with worry, with anxiety. I'm going to choose to focus on the benefits that are available to me. You know, that is called faith. And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now let's look at a couple of the benefits, starting from verse 3. First benefit that they mention there, God forgives all your sins. Listen, yeah, this is the biggest benefit that you can get. Because here's the problem. Sin is something that defiles, that corrupts, and that will ultimately bring eternal damnation. You see, here's the thing. God and sin do not mix. Righteousness and sin do not mix. Righteousness will stand. Sin will go up in flames and smoke. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. What does the fire of God consume? Unrighteousness, sin, rubbish. Now, that could be bad news, but we have a benefit. Because you are a child of God, you are no longer sitting and panicking and worrying what's going to happen to my life because I have all of this sin. God has forgiven all of your sins. Who was a naughty boy or a naughty girl somewhere in life? I did take note that Diane's hand went up first. Oh, okay. You see, here's the thing. Everybody has a past. Everybody's messed up. Jesus said to the bunch of Pharisees who wanted to stone the woman, just stop right there. Let he who has no sin cast the first stone. You see, there was only one man that ever walked the earth that had no sin, and his name was Jesus. I'm not him, you aren't, you aren't, you aren't, you aren't. We all have sin. That could potentially be a big problem, but God made a way to take it away. It's called a benefit of salvation. The greatest benefit of salvation is, I have no more sin. What happens when the devil reminds you of all of your sin? You say to him, excuse me, don't you know that I have benefits? And my benefit is, I have no more sin. So shut up and futzak, get out of my life. I'm not interested. I am sinless. That doesn't mean that I don't still sin on occasion. It means that because of the righteousness that came to me through Jesus' suffering on the cross, God sees His righteousness as my righteousness, and I am no longer a sinner. In fact, the Bible in the New Testament calls me a saint. And I'm not a saint because the Pope ordained me. I'm not a saint because I did some miracle or this or that or wada wada. I'm not a saint because somebody prays to me. I'm a saint because God ordained me a saint through the blood of Jesus that washed me clean of sin. First very big benefit of salvation, God forgives all your sins. And let's focus on the word all. Think of the worst thing that you've ever done. You can't. She doesn't even want to think about it. Well, you don't have to worry about that because it's gone. It's finished. When Jesus said these words on the cross, it is finished. He was thinking, you know, Diane, all that stuff that you did, it is finished. It's gone. It's no longer there. You see, here's the thing. You must understand something. Satan will constantly come and remind you of your past failures, the things you did wrong. He wants to make you feel guilty. He wants to make you feel unworthy. He wants to make you feel small. But what does the Word of God say? I have benefits. And the first benefit is, that's not who I am anymore. Yes, I did do that. But because of the grace of God, it's finished. It's gone. Second benefit, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. The second great benefit, which is extremely important, is we do not just worship some inanimate object that sits there in a corner smiling at us but never doing anything. We serve the God who heals. And listen to what he says, who heals all your diseases. Now, listen to me. He says, forget not all his benefits. we need to constantly remind ourselves who we serve. We need to constantly remind ourselves what is available to us. Can I tell you why? Because it builds faith. You know, God, when the Israelites were in the desert, I've mentioned this before, but it's important because you have to understand how things work in the kingdom of God. God said to Moses, the Israelites are to constantly be reminded of the miracles that God has done in their lives. They were to speak about it and they were to teach their children. And this was important to God. Why is it important? Because it keeps it alive and it builds faith. There's a lot of people that have had God do some amazing miracles, but they forget very quickly. You see, God says, forget not. The problem is we forget. Can I tell you why we forget? Because today God does a miracle, tomorrow the pawpaw hits the fan, and all our focus is on the pawpaw. And we forget what God did. Even though you go through trials, you go through tribulations, you go through problems, you are still not supposed to forget who God is and what God has done in your life. And you have to keep reminding yourself. You know, one thing that I've learned over the years, and Fatima are my witnesses here. Many times when I sit and counsel people, I talk about my life and I talk about some of my life experiences. And many times when I talk about it, I end up reminding myself, like, wow, I forgot all about that. Yeah, look at what God did in my life. And by the end of that talk, I'm like, the power of God is just all over me. Why? Because the faith builds up inside of me again. I get excited again. I have hope again. And we should all be like that. We have to remind ourselves of what God has done for us, who God is and what is available to us, because it builds faith. And heals all your diseases. We should not be in a place where the only time we look for the healer is when we have a problem. We should remember always, even when we don't have need for that, that God is the healer. We should always worship Him as the healer, because that keeps faith alive. And then when there is a problem, instead of us focusing on the size of the problem, we will see the size of God versus how tiny the problem truly is. Because then we will begin to speak in faith, operate in faith, and conquer in faith. Who redeems your life from the pit? Ah. You know, I was thinking about this. What is the pit? Okay, it could be that the pit, yeah, was referring to the pit of hell. But to me, it's more than just that, because there are a lot of pits that people can fall into before you ever get to hell. You can be in the pit of despair. You know, sometimes we're in a place where we are in so much despair, it feels like we can't do anything anymore. The pit of depression, the pit of anxiety, the pit of worry. There are a lot of pits that people can fall into. It can be the pit of guilt. How many of you know that sometimes when guilt comes and sits at your stomach, it eats you up from the inside? I'll never forget, once many, many, many years ago, I had a vehicle. I was an apprentice, and I had this vehicle, and while I was driving the vehicle, a woman drove into me. And I then had to go and speak to the guy in charge, who was not a very approachable individual. And he had a temper like that. And now I have to go and explain the whole situation there. And, you know, this thing was eating at me. And I actually thought I was going to pass out. Because now I have to make an appointment to see the oak, and I hear him yelling at somebody else in the office already, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, why did this have to happen today? And it's like panic, panic, stress, stress, worry, worry. Sometimes these things inside can eat us up. I don't know if anybody's ever been in that place, but there are a lot of pits today. Say again. Well, I have good news for you. There's benefits for you. And maybe, just maybe, it's time for us to claim our benefits. You know, looking at it from that point of view. I think you have it. E-bucks, am I right? What good is it that you have 20,000 e-bucks and you do nothing with it? Somewhere you have to use it for something. Well, you can claim them in some way and you can have the benefit of them. Well, you know what? God didn't put these benefits here so that we can point to them. I'll give it to you this way. You see, there's a nice cupboard or showcase. There's some nice things in that showcase, but whoever even thinks of them? Nobody. I want to make you a promise. Nobody in the school even remembers what's going on there. But maybe now and then what they should be doing is in the morning assembly, bring it out and say, listen, you want to know what makes this school great? So-and-so did this and so did that. And you know what? It'll keep alive what these people did. We tend to take our nice things, we put it somewhere in a showcase, they gather dust, we forget all about it, and it's useless. That's not what God wants from us. The benefits that are available to us is not to put somewhere to say to people, oh, I have this and I have this. It's to be used. It's to be taken. It's to be applied. It's to be appropriated. Who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. Today, I don't know what pit you might be in. Maybe you are in the pit of despair. Maybe you are in the pit of worry. Maybe you are in the pit of financial crisis. Maybe you are, you know, sometimes we say, I'm drowning in debt. Well, that could be a kind of a pit. I don't care what your pit is. I have a benefit for you. God says there is a benefit in the kingdom that will redeem you. In other words, take you out of the pit. It's time to get out of the pit. Who crowns you with love? If you were here last week, we spoke about love. And you know, I read to you from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it starts off by saying, and now I will show you a more excellent, or the most excellent way. And then he ends off by saying, but love never fails. What is the most excellent way? It is when God's love comes into your life in an exceeding measure and begins to give you victory over the things in your life and changes you. And how does that work? Well, it's simple. God is love. So the more love comes into your life, the more God-like, and I'm not trying to be New Age or anything like that, the God-like character begins to rise up inside of you. You begin to handle things the way God would handle things. Amen? If Jesus could do it, we can. Oh, but Rion, how can you say that? Because Jesus himself said, the things I have done, you will do, and even greater things you will do. Don't tell me it's not possible. Jesus said it is. Just because we're not there right now doesn't mean we can't get there. Probably we have to change a couple of things to get to that place. And probably there's a couple of benefits that we're missing. Or we don't even know that they exist. Well, then it's time for us to start applying them. Who crowns you with love? Here is a benefit of salvation. Because I have entered into salvation through Jesus Christ and I have become a child of God, God is willing to take love from his heart and put it as a crown on your head. Is there anybody here today that needs more love? If you don't raise your hands right now, then with all due respect, there's something wrong with you. Because we all need more. Come on, we all need more love. Do you remember last week's sermon? Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is compassionate. It holds no record of wrongs, etc., etc. Everybody battles with those things. Love is patient. Do you remember that one? How was this week? Okay. Here is a benefit. God says he will take love and he will not just put it in your heart. He will even give you a crown of love. Did you hear any mention of payment there? You know, when you listen to a TV ad, but wait, there's more. For an extra amount of $20, we will also include XYZ. Or like when you watch TBN, you know, it always freaks me out when I watch TBN. They tell you that they're going to give you your free gift, but then they tell you for a donation of. We have this free gift for a donation of. Then I'm always thinking to myself, how do these people's minds work? You know, free should be free. We have a gift of for the donation of. Gifts are free. No, I want to tell you something. God doesn't operate the way we sometimes operate in the world. When God says it's free, it's free. It costs you nothing. It costs God everything. First, it cost him his son. Second, it cost his son his life. But there's no more costs involved. If it's going to cost you something, it's going to cost you to lay down your life, to give it to God. But that doesn't really cost you money. You know, there are very few things in this life today that you can look at and say, that is going to cost me nothing. You know, I went overseas. You all know that we went overseas. Overseas, you want to go to the toilet, you better have money. I tell you what, and you better have serious money, because there, nothing's for free. Let me tell you something. Relieving yourself can be a very expensive excursion.
Eight rand.
It cost 8 rand. Well, you know what? Well, 2 rand is a bit better than 8 rand. But the fact of the matter is... Yeah, okay, let me just tell you something. You know what? Bless this country. Because to my shock and horror, I realized that when you are overseas... And they come and put some nice things on the table for you. You know, yeah, you go to a restaurant, they put a roll there, it's like for you to have. Overseas, you have the roll, they give you the bill later. Then you're like, what the hell is this? It's like, oh, it's for the roll. Oh, but you gave it to me. Yeah, but because you had it, you must pay for it. Oh, and you add some butter on the roll. There's an extra invoice for the butter. You know, the one day we went to have soup. We ordered soup. It was very cold, and we needed soup. Everybody's stomach was a bit upset because the food over there is very rich. So now we're on soup. We're on a soup diet. We go, we sit down, we have a nice cup of soup, a bowl of soup. We ask them if we can have a bit of bread with the soup. Big mistake. They charged us double for the bread than they charged us for the soup. It's like... It was the most expensive meal we had in a long time. And by the way, we also got charged for the butter. So yeah, I want to tell you something. South Africa is still a bargain. Eh? Enjoy it while you're young. But getting back to it, all I wanted to say, there's very few things in life that's free. But everything that you get here is free. God doesn't charge you for it. He gives it to you for free. It's not going to cost you anything. Receive it for free. Enjoy it for free. Then, who crowns you with love and compassion. I think that's very important, because if you have a problem, imagine if you have to go and talk to somebody who actually has no time to listen to you, is irritated because now you're putting some demand on their time, is giving you a hard time and fighting with you about whatever it is that you're discussing with them. Wouldn't you want to rather go and sit and talk to somebody who's going to listen with compassion? Help me out. What does the word compassion really mean? It means that the person who's listening is sincere. And not only are they sincere, but they kind of like feel your pain, and they are willing to do whatever they can to be accommodating and to help. Would my explanation sort of hit the bullseye? Well, here's the thing. You know, in this world, many times, let's say you have a problem at work, you go talk to the boss. Instead of the boss having compassion, it's just like, you see, the boss is only worried about the bottom line. Money, money, money. So he shouts at you, oh, don't come to me with problems, come to me with solutions. I've heard that many times. But sometimes you just need to have a caring ear to listen. Sometimes you go to a teacher because you don't really understand things very like, and if they listen to you with compassion and they truly hear you, they can help you to understand. But it's like, oh, listen, yeah, if everybody else listened, why can't you listen? Go make a plan, sort it out yourself. All I'm trying to say is this. Compassion is sometimes difficult to find down here on earth. Even where it should be. Sometimes parents aren't very compassionate. Sometimes a husband or a wife is not very compassionate. Sometimes your girlfriend or your boyfriend is not very compassionate. But here's the thing. God will crown you with compassion. So when you talk to God about your problems, it's not that He's not interested in listening. Not only does He listen, but He tells you in His Word, I have compassion for you. Then, who satisfies your desires with good things? Is there anybody here that has some desires? Well, this is my take on it. God will satisfy your desires with good things. That doesn't mean God will always give you desires. It says God will give you good things. The way I look at it, if 20 people desire to be the president of the country, only one can be. Everybody cannot always get the desire that they want. But even if God's not going to give you what you want today, what God will give you, His promise is, it will be good. Amen? So I want to ask you a question. Do you have the right to expect good things? Do you have the right to expect good things? Then why sometimes do we have this attitude that God doesn't want to give us good things? Yeah, He says, one of the benefits that you have because you are a child of God is I will give you good things. So what should you do if you're not having good things right now? Stand on your benefits. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but don't accept a poor substitute. Remind God, Lord, your word says, because of who I am, I have a benefit. Good things are coming my way. Therefore, I can't accept this. The devil is trying to pull a fast one here. Something is wrong. I will not stand for this. I'm claiming my good things. I receive my good things. I insist on my good things because it's part of my benefits. You say to the devil, listen, I am on the platinum package. And in the platinum package, we don't have all this problem. So take your problems, it's yours. Futsack, get out of my life. I have good things coming. I insist on my good things in Jesus' mighty name. And then he goes on and he says, so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagle. So that your youth is renewed. Is there anybody here that needs to have their youth renewed? I'm sure there's a couple. Do you want to be 14 again? She wants to be 14, knowing what she knows today. You know, I cannot promise you that God's going to make you 14 again. But there's a good chance that He will make you feel like He will touch you and you will feel like a 50-year-old who feels 14 years old. How's that? God says He will renew your youth. Listen to me. Everybody's going to get old. But God wants you to grow old gracefully. And God does want you to grow old with health. You know, the Bible says of Moses that he was like 120 years old and his vision was still 20/20. Hello? It's not impossible. It's not impossible. You know, they say that the eagle, there is a reference here to the eagle. They say that the eagle is an amazing bird because to some extent it doesn't really age. In time its beak begins to grow, as all birds do. And there comes a time when the beak has grown to such an extent that it can't even eat its prey anymore. The beak becomes too big. Now, you know, like a horse, the teeth wear out and then they have to put the poor thing down because it's got no more teeth. Well, there's a big difference between the eagle and other animals. What the eagle does, when the beak gets too big that it can't work anymore, it finds a rock and it goes and it scrapes the beak away on a rock until there's hardly anything left. And then a new beak grows out and it just starts all over again and its life cycle starts repeating. Eagles also don't have, to some extent, they don't really have natural enemies. So, kind of like if you don't shoot it, it's probably not going to die. Yes, there are eagles that in captivity have lived over 120 years. Because they regenerate. Now, here's what the Bible says. It says, God will renew your youth like that of an eagle. Well, he says it. So why must we doubt it? You see, here's the thing. Faith is a very difficult concept in the world. People think we're mad because we have faith. Because we're believing in something that we can't see. Yeah, but how do you prove it? How do you prove to somebody that God exists? Well, firstly, you can't prove that God exists to somebody that will not believe. You have to first believe. That means there must be a bit of faith involved. But if they choose to just open their eyes, there's a gazillion ways to see that God is real. But it takes faith. Now here's the thing. When the Word of God says that God can renew your youth, it means it's possible. But you must understand that it's one of the benefits that is available to you. And maybe until today you never understood that benefit is available to you. So guess what? You can have that benefit for your mind. You know, you're starting to forget everything. Well, your mind can become youthful again. You know, those muscles that don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Well, God can renew them. Check tomorrow morning. Macy. Imagine. Look, I know how things go in your house right now. It's time for Leonard to get up. It's like, Ach, Macy, help me, Biggie. But now tomorrow morning, it's going to be like, which? Which? And Macy's going to be like, what happened to Leonard? There we go, Leonard. God will renew your strength. Amen. Yeah, I see that big smile. God will renew your youth like that of an eagle. And then he says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to be oppressed. And justice is coming for you. Do you know what another? There's two benefits here. There's two benefits here. Listen to them. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. The first thing is, God, if something is oppressing you, God will deal with it. The second thing is, God will bring justice into your life. You know, we live in a world where there is so much injustice. You know, sometimes you really do get the feeling that in order to go somewhere, you have to be a crook or a scallop. But that's not true. Don't be fooled by what you see around you. Because everybody pays the piper at some point in time. What they think they get away with today, tomorrow they pay for. In ways that you can't see. But God says, for you, I will give justice. And the scallop is not going to get justice. The crook is not going to get justice. They will get what the Bible calls their just deserts. What they deserve, they will get. What they've sown, they will reap. And even if they want to change all of their ways, the reaping process is still going to continue, whether they like it or not. So it's better not to put bad seed into the ground in the first place. It's just a fact of life. But justice is available to us. Verse 8, he says, the Lord is compassionate and the Lord is gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, and nor will he harbor his anger forever. You know you messed up, right? How long is God going to stay angry at you? God's anger disappears like that. It's in the Bible. God does not stay angry. Can you? Is it right for you to stay angry at your kids for 5 years because of something that they've done? There's people that do it, but that doesn't make it right. If you want to know how it works, listen to how God operates. There is a time for anger. Even God gets angry. But the moment God's done what needs to be done, it's over. Listen to what he says. This is very, very important. He will not always accuse and he will not harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Hey, how's that? You know what? If there was a scale, Diane just spipped the scale on a number 20. Ooh, Eddie just hit the 35. The number 20 could mean any number of really horrific things. Number 35 is like, who? Call off, Bob. Problems are coming. I'm just giving an example, all right? I'm not cursing you. But the thing is, God says, I will not treat you as your sins deserve. You know, down here, you got problems. They catch you speeding. You're doing 200 in a 60 zone. Okay. In South Africa, it depends how deep your pockets are sometimes. But generally, you got problems. There's nothing you can do. But with God, God says, even though you mess up horribly, because I am kind, graceful, and merciful, I will not treat you according to what you deserve. Have you ever, okay, going back to your youth, have you ever had a situation where your mom or your dad says to you, just wait until we get home. Just wait until we get home. You better start rubbing your backside. And then all the way home, it's like, and you're very quiet and you become small in the back seat. And when the car stops, it's like, you out there quickly. And you're just like, oh, Lord, just let them forget, please, oh. And then sometimes your mom and dad actually just didn't do nothing. Do you know what? They were acting in a godly way sometimes because they didn't treat you as you deserved. God says there are times when he will not treat you the way you deserve because he's merciful. He's kind and he's compassionate. And he realized that sometimes we just mess up, but we're sorry. And he says, you know what? Today, there will not even be consequences for the rubbish that you've made. I'm just going to have mercy on you. And then he goes on and he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. How's that? Sometimes the devil wants to force iniquity upon us. God says, I will not repay you according to your iniquities. So if the devil is making you pay for your iniquity right now, which is inherited rubbish, you can tell him to futsack because God says, I don't want to repay you for that. And then he says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Can you measure the love that God has for you? Well, that's the point. Who knows where the heavens stop? They sent probes into space that have been running since the 1960s. They still haven't found the end of the universe. They've been going for like, 60 years. They still don't know how far it goes. And probably they're never going to get to the end. God's love for you cannot be measured. And everything God does in your life first comes from a heart of love. How bad can it really be? You need help? He's there for you. You need somebody to back you up? He's standing right behind you. You need protection? His wings are big enough. Amen? And then he says, yeah. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. You know that past that you're not proud of? The things that you've done that bother you and give you a hard time? I want you to see it from God's perspective. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has pushed it out of your life. God never goes there. It's you and I that go there, and it's the devil that goes there, but God doesn't go there. He says, I've pushed it away. It's gone. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Another wonderful promise. Because you love me, because you obey me, you honor me, you worship me, you adore me, God speaking, he says, not only will I bring these benefits into your life, but your children's children will have them. What a wonderful promise. And then he goes on and he says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you his mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all the heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There's a lot of praise the Lord, why? Because he has realized, David has realized how much benefits there truly are available to him and to you and to me in the kingdom of God, because we are children of God. You know, maybe you came here today and your situation is to some extent hopeless. Maybe the devil has told you that it's like, oh, things are never going to get any better. Things are never going to change. This is just your lot in life. Well, I hope today you realize that you have some benefits. They're not going to cost you anything, but it's for you to understand what they are, and it's for you to apply them. And where the devil has been lying to you, it's for you to tell him to shut up. I have benefits. And apply those benefits. And please remember, verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all these benefits. You know, tomorrow when you feel down, discouraged, and disheartened, remember this psalm, Psalm 103. You go read it and you remind yourself of the benefits, and your spirit will pick up. And remember, it's not God's will for you to be in the pit. One of the benefits of salvation is you don't have to stay in any pit. God will remove you. He says, I will redeem you from the pit. Be it the pit of depression, be it the pit of despair, be it the pit of hopelessness, be it the pit of debt, be it the pit of, you name it, sickness, infirmity. You can come out. You don't have to stay. Did anybody learn something today? Let's give the Lord a big hand, please.